Praise the Lord, church. Put your hands together and give the Lord some praise. Is he not worthy to be praised? From the rising of the sun until the setting of the same. My God. Hallelujah, somebody. I know y'all can do better than that. God woke you up this morning, did he not? Get on your feet and give him some praise. Come on. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. 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 I praise his holy name, because he's worthy to be praised. Anointing.
Hallelujah.
Follow me. Anointing. Follow me. Let the power of the Holy fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Oh, oh, anointing fall on me.
Yeah.
Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, oh hallelujah, fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that without the anointing, nothing happens? Nothing happens without the anointing. I thank you for the wonderful introduction. Praise the Lord. Haven't we had a great time thus far? As Reverend says, the anointed songs and the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous. We've had all of that. Praise God. And now, we need a word from the Lord. Amen. I want to thank Reverend Armstrong in his absence. And I know all of us are praying for him and everyone that's in Liberia with him, hoping for safe travels and that he will return to us safely. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The scripture has already been read for you, but if you will stand, I would like to read my key text from Judges 4. And I believe it's number 10, verse 10. I will read that for you. Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will go. Surely I will go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera in the hands of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Amen.
Amen.
Pray with me on this wise. Don't get stuck in the battle. Amen. Father God, I come before you, first of all, just thanking and praising you and glorifying you because you're God all by yourself. You can do anything that you want to do anytime you want to do it. Father, and I know that your eyes are searching to bless. And I know many times you've stopped by Shiloh. That much we do know. You raised some people up off sick beds. You put food on some tables and clothes on others' back. Now, Father, hide Essie Diane Holloway behind the cross. Let your people see only you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
sometimes in this life, we question God. Amen? We may not want to admit it, but we do question God's commands, or we hesitate to do what God has asked us to do. Is it anybody here know that we do question God?
Yeah.
And sometimes we question God not because of the message, but we question God because of the messenger. When God tells us to do something, most of us want to ponder in our own minds, should we go into action? Many times we hesitate because of fear, and fear can paralyze, and fear can make you look stupid. Do I have any witnesses in here? At other times, we get hung up on isms and schisms in our lives. You know the kind. Favoritism, classism, egotism, racism, feminism, sexism. You pick an ism. Amen? I believe the sin, that isms are a sin, and that isms sometimes bring out fear. Amen? Many of us just will not do what God tells us to do simply because if somebody else told us, it would be okay. Amen? A commander in chief who just happens to be young, a person of color, female or male, is often confronted with a Tea Party mentality or a religious right-wing thinkers or just religious goats. I'm not saying that any are in here, but you know what I'm talking about. These folk only accept ideas and directions if the ideas and directions are coming from their rank and file members. Often non-traditionalist leaders in government, business, or the church are less effective, not because they're unqualified, beloved, but simply because the traditionalists believe it's okay to block God's progress by simply saying, we've never done it like that before. I'm just saying. Okay? Recently, the Tea Party mentality allowed 36 individuals to shut down the entire U.S. government over health care reform. They hid behind the claim of being fiscal responsible. I can imagine God is saying, it's time you grow up. Get over yourself. Beloved, God can and God will do whatever he wants to do to accomplish his will. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? His purpose, even if it means moving some things and some people out of the way.
That's right.
This is a new day and old things have passed away.
That's right.
Don't be one of them, amen?
All right.
I'm just saying, you'll get that after a while. It's time to try something new. It's time to try something that you never tried before. Try it. You might like it. Or you just might learn something. Back in the day, we used to use telephone booths, mimeograph machines, and royal typewriters. Does anybody remember that? Some of you still have some. But anyway, but today, we Skype, teleconference, use telephones, computers, iPads, and some of us even tweet. I believe all negative isms are sins before God. Moreover, I believe when you oppose God's leaders, you are not going against the leader, you are challenging God. Some of us need to be careful about that. Do you not know that we are all in God's will?
Well,
we're either in his permissive will or his sovereign will. His permissive will is what he allows to happen. And his sovereign will is what he commands to happen. Nevertheless, whatever happens, it's in his will.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Right now, we're all sitting here in this sanctuary because God willed it so.
Well,
some of us are slipping and sliding, peeking and hiding. But by the grace of God, we're still saved. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for grace and thank God for mercy. I don't know about you, but I can thank God for grace and I can thank God for mercy.
Amen.
There's no surprises with God. God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. He's everywhere, all-knowing, and all-powerful, and he's all three at all times. Amen?
Amen?
He created everything, and he knows every one of us, every hair, those that we bought, and those that we grow. Amen? Somebody know what I'm talking about. God was not taken by surprise that the United States elected a young black man in the White House as commander-in-chief. And that young man, black man, is pushing through legislation that we all need.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about the other folks in the other church, but I know there's some folk in our church that need some health care.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Beloved, I'd rather live my life under God's sovereign will and not his permissive will. Because if he turns his face from me, what, and lead me to my own devices, what will happen to me? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that every now and then I can get into God's face, and some of you need to try it too, amen? Don't get it twisted, beloved. God created man to be head of his family, but I'm smart enough to know that when it comes to worship, God does not regard a person, place, or thing higher than any other. When God wants to deliver his people, he will use an axe head, a donkey, the sun, the rain, the wind, whatever he needs to use, he will use it to accomplish his will. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Joshua understood this the day God made the sun stand still, so that God could get the victory in the battle.
All right.
John the Revelator in the book of John says, we are all to worship God in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit and we're made in his image. I thank God he does not see man the way man sees man. And his ways, I thank God, are higher than our ways. Some of us are in for a rude awakening.
Yeah.
We are not God, but we believe that we can get in God's way. Okay. While what we need to be saying is, God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how, where you want me to go. I don't care what you want me to do, but God send me. Not my will, but your will be done. That's what we need to say. But beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, as for me and my house, and my family sitting right there, right back there, y'all stand up so everybody can see you, because you know you heard it. Stand up, family. As for me and my house. Come on, Charles, get on up. As for me and my house. Come on, Miss Ross, get on up. Get on up, Miss Ross. As for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. We gonna serve the Lord. I'm telling you. Amen. I'm telling you, we're gonna serve the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Who's willing to go and fight for the oppressed and the disenfranchised in our communities? just because God told us to do it. Who's willing to do that? We have a vision. And Pastor said, now is the time. I'm going to get off that anyway. Because I've heard some stuff. You know, I'm not going to tell Pastor, but I heard some stuff. Beloved, the Bible says, God's eyes go to and fro, seeking someone to bless.
Well,
your unwillingness to hear God's word because of those who bring the message may result in you missing out what God intended for you. Some of us think we can obtain God's promise by doing things our way. In our text, God's people are disobedient on so many levels, and disobedience causes problems. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Beloved, whenever we hesitate to do what God tells us to do, it's called doubting. And doubting God is disobedient. Israel was promised the promised land, and God gave it to them. But how many of you know that anything worth having, ladies, is already occupied? If it's not worth having, then it ain't occupied. I don't know about y'all, but hey. Think about it. Often in order to obtain a blessing and to have peace with a blessing, you got to get rid of something or someone. Or the blessing becomes a nightmare. It was a dream made in heaven when you went down the aisle. Now your eyes are open and it's a living hell. Oh, don't look up. Don't nobody look up. Look straight ahead. Women look straight ahead. Men look down. And now you're trying to escape, trying to get to some rooftop somewhere, up on the roof, where it's quiet and silent. Because you need a little peace in your life. Peace is the absence of chaos, hostility, disagreement, and quarrels. It's order, contentment, serenity, tranquility. Peace has no strife, no confusion, no bitterness, no war, no destruction, no lack. It's calmness, peace. Is calmness in the midst of battles when everyone else is losing their mind, falling apart, and acting crazy. God gives you perfect peace. Shalom, wholeness, nothing broken in every area of your life. Perfect peace. That's what he wants for us. Jesus' peace brings joy. The kind of joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Somebody has had this peace. Amen? The land was occupied by the enemy, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Ites. How many of us in here today have some Ites living right under your own roof? Or have some Ikes on your job, or have some Ikes in your ministry? Y'all know who I'm talking about. How many of y'all sitting here might be an Ike? You know who the Ikes are. They are those folks who can never see any good in what you are trying to accomplish. They always find fault with whatever you're doing, what someone else is doing. They're always busybodying other people's stuff, and yet their stuff is a little shady. You know the Ikes. Those are folks who are quick to repeat anything negative about someone else. This means in order to live in peace with the promise of God and the promise that God has given you, You got to do battle with the Ikes.
God never intended us for us to set up housekeeping or make deals with the enemy. No. God wants us to get rid of the enemy. Stomp the devil out. But often, when we battle the enemy, we hesitate. Like Barack, we hesitate. When I was young, I have to be real careful telling stuff because my family come unglued. But when I was real young, and I wasn't always sane, we used to have some bullies harassing us. And my grandmom told me, "You've picked the biggest one, and you hit him hard and you hit him fast, and the rest of them will scatter." Does anybody know about that? Hit them hard, and the rest of them will scatter. Uh-huh. Amen? Amen? But now that we're saved and Christians, we hesitate to take on the giants in our lives. We see ourselves as grasshoppers. Beloved, do you not know that greater is him? Is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Do you not know that? Did you know God did not give us a spirit of fear? As a matter of fact, whether we do something or we don't, God's program is going to go forward without you. As a matter of fact, God does not need you to accomplish what his will is, nor will he wait around for you to get your act together.
Well.
It is truly a privilege for us to serve the Lord. God uses the weak things of this life to get valor and strength. He really does not need us because he's powerful all by himself. He can use the elements of the earth. Mountains move instantly when he speaks. Jesus spoke to the raging wind and the roaring sea, and the waves instantly stood still. When we cry out to the Lord, he is capable of answering our greatest and our smallest prayer. All he asks for us is to trust and obey and be willing vessels. Amen?
Amen?
God will deliver you in the time of trouble. He is not a man that would go back on his promises.
Well.
If he says the land is yours, that job, wellness in your body, lawyer in the courtroom, roof over your head, food on your table, shoes on your feet, believe it. He's not a man to go back on his promises. God is able. Don't doubt. Believe, be bold, and go into battle. Have faith that God will do whatever he says he will do. Have faith that God knows who, what, when, and where, and why he will do what he's going to do. Beloved, he is waiting for us to get ourselves together. He's waiting for us to see who he can send to do what he needs done.
Well.
And this brings me to my text. Amen? The scripture tells us Moses and Joshua are dead, and the 12 tribes of Israel have crossed the Jordan, and they have entered the promised land. This is the land that God promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are in the land, but not possessing the land. Have you ever been promoted to a position of authority, but the people you supervise act like they're your boss? Or have you ever been given something, but it really isn't yours because someone else is treating it like it belongs to them? Israel have failed to follow God's instruction. and the instructions was given to them before they entered the land. And now they find themselves in the land, and instead of owning the land, the people of the land own them. God can give you the job, but you must take ownership. The Israelites are in the land, but they don't possess the land. God said, take the land and drive the enemy out. But like so many of us, the Israelites thought they could live with the enemy. Like some of us, we think we can fraternize or flirt with sin and not be tainted. But beloved, my Bible says a little bit of leaven leavens the whole loaf. And God said, drive them out. Don't hang out. Kick them out. Some of us are afraid, but God did not give us a spirit of fear. Who is the enemy? We know who the enemy is. The folks who plot on us in the back room and hatch plans to bring us down. They drop innuendos about how inadequate they think we are. Some of them smile in your face and all the time trying to take your place. You know them. They're the backstabbers. Many of them have a little posse that travels around with them. Y'all know the clique, the gang. They do their dirt with a backhand. Backhand compliments and backhand politics. President Obama got more than a taste of this with the health care reform bill. But you need to put them on Front Street. Amen? I serve a God who speaks light into dark places. He can take a negative situation and turn it around. God brings what's done in the dark against you, beloved, out where everyone can see it. And he will do it in such a way that everybody will know that he's done it. Your enemies may plot against you behind closed doors, but God deals with your haters on Front Street. God hangs his shingle out on Front Street. Amen? He is the beginning. He is the end. He's the Alpha and he is the Omega. God operates in a moment, in a time, which is the right time. There's two kinds of time that we operate in here. Kairos time and Chronos time. Chronos time is chronological time, it's human time. Chronos is man's time, 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute. We punch a clock according to man's time. But Kairos time is the right or opportune time, the time when the supreme being gets a moment and step into your life and change some stuff. Some of us would love to live in Kairos time. It's the kind of time that when something happens, everybody knows it must be the work of the Lord. Kairos moments are memorable. It's a moment when most people do not forget. God defies Chronos time. The songwriter put it like this: God will show up, and he always shows up on time. And in his time, God will get the glory. Our text says, now the people are crying out to the Lord, and God raises up a leader named Deborah in the life of the people. When God chose Deborah, I don't believe he was concerned with feminism or womanism. Deborah was a prophetess who talked directly to God. Deborah told the people what God told her to tell them. Unlike many God's followers, she believed God could and would do whatever he said he could do. In Judges 5:4-20, Deborah sings God's praise. She said, Lord, when you went out of Seir, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted before you, God. The first fight you fought was from heaven. The stars in their courses fought for Sisera. The river of Kishon overflowed and took down the enemy. Deborah was the fourth judge out of 14 judges and the only woman to rule over Israel during this period. Deborah was a wife, and because she delivered her people out of bondage, she was called the mother of Israel. Deborah waged a spiritual battle against God's army. But don't be mistaken, this was not Deborah's fight. This battle was between God and God's enemy. God's enemy was King Jabin. The name means intellect and knowledge. God used Deborah, whose name means honeybee, as his commanding officer. And he used Barak, which means lightning, as his general. Beloved, at times, we can become so intellectual and wise in our own eyes that God uses something that appears foolish to bring us down, like a honeybee and lightning. King Intellect and his general Sisera had been oppressing God's people for 20 years. King Intellect had all the tools of warfare at his disposal. He used the chariots and the weapons of iron to keep his people under control. Like the Israelites, some of us have been weighted down with so many problems for so long, we feel like there are chains of irons and shackles on our back. Some of us in here today have been working so long for the same pay grade level, we think that we're never, ever going to get a raise. When will I find a good job? When will my child stop getting in trouble? When will my body be healed? When will my marriage work out? When will I get a break, God? Shackles on our backs.
Yes.
But I know a God who can break every chain.
Oh, yes.
Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I know a God that can break every chain.
Yes, he can.
Deborah had simple foot soldiers. King Jabin had 900 iron chariots. Deborah was no match in the battle, but Deborah had a kairos moment. Beloved, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spirits and high places, against rulers of darkness, against authorities, against powers of darkness. But we must be willing to fight. When Barak received the command to lead the battle, he hesitated. For a moment, he became mentally stuck. I don't know if it was the messenger, fear, or unbelief that caused Barak to hesitate. But for a moment, he became double-minded and unstable. The Bible says a double-minded individual is unstable in all his ways. Beloved, a double-minded person's loyalty is divided, and they are unstable because they don't know which way they are going. They are wishy-washy. Wishy-washy folk are viewed as weak and not capable of going into action. We don't know why they're wishy-washy people in this world, but we do know it's a state of mind. But we also know that in order to fight God's battle, you have to have faith. Faith is a thing that we must have. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith acts like a thing is so, even when it's not. I don't care what the doctor's report is. Have faith. I don't care what they say about you. Have faith. I don't care if they say you're not going to get the promotion. Have faith. I don't care if that child is acting stupid. Have faith. God told us, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall, and the door will be open. Knock and the door will be open. And faith is the key that unlocks the door. No matter what the situation is, beloved, have faith in God. I don't care what the report says. Have faith in God. Through faith, Jesus called dead things back to life. And there's some dead things in our lives that need to be called back. Amen? Aren't you tired of your mind being in a seat of confusion, an armchair of negativity, an overstuffed couch of criticism? Don't you want God's peace? I believe through faith, God shows up in Kairos moments and changes our situation. Deborah warned Barak that the road he was traveling of doubt would bring him no glory. Barak was having a chronological moment, a chronos moment. But what I like about Deborah, Deborah said what God said, and she was decisive. She told Barak, God will get the glory even if you don't go. Beloved, and that's what I'm telling you today. God will get the glory whether you go or not. Amen? He will use someone else to settle with the enemy. In this situation, God not only used Deborah, but he used another woman as well to settle the score. He used the elements also of nature. The rain poured and the overflowing of the river caused Jabin's sophisticated army of 900 chariots to get stuck in the mud. This was a Kairos moment, and it confused the enemy and put him on the run. Moreover, God used friendly fire, a member of King Intellect's clique, to drive a peg through the general's head. You ought to be careful who you include, beloved, in your posse. They may be the very one God used to bring you down. Amen? The Bible says, for the Lord sailed the general right into the hands of another woman. This woman was supposed to be friends of the Canaanites. Jael, which means friendly fire, nailed him and stuck his head to the ground. King Jabin's army was the last major Canaanite military force that confronted Israel. His defeat marked an important milestone in Israel's possession of the land. After the battle was over, Israel experienced 40 years of peace. Beloved, God will always deliver his people when they call out to him. But we must be willing to trust and obey. Don't get stuck when God gives you a command. Don't hesitate, just go. Being double-minded and unstable can be costly. Even after Barak decided to go into battle and fight, he chased the enemy, but he did not get the credit for defeating the enemy. King Jabin, with all his power, knowledge, iron, and chariots, got stuck in the mud, and his army was defeated when God opened up the heavens. In order to have what God says you can have, we need to stop depending on what we think. Just simply trust in God. I know something. Sometimes it does not make sense. But don't allow yourself to get stuck in disobedience. If God says it, that settles it. No matter how long you have been stuck in a bad situation, God will deliver you if you believe. Some of you have been through some battles in this life. I don't know about you, but I know I have. It's been some hard times. I got a t-shirt and a mug. Hard times. Even if I get stuck in the midst of the battle, I know God will bring me through. I'm so glad that I have memory and imagination. I remember what God has already done. When I get stuck, I start remembering. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that the Lord is good. Yes, he is. I can imagine if he took care of me then, he'll take care of me now. If he brings me through this, he'll bring me through that. He'll get me to the other side. Memory and imagination keeps me going in hard times. I remember what God has already brought me through. Unstable times, hard times, lean times, thin times, fat times. He's brought me through.
Hallelujah.
And because he's brought me through, because he's brought me through, I know I can keep moving. And because he's brought you through, you know you can keep moving. Amen? I tell myself what God says. And I tell my children the same thing when they call me. Say, Mom, what about such and such? I said, no, speak what God says. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what God says. My steps are ordered by the Lord. That's what God says. I'm the head and not the tail. How many believe what God says? I don't know about you, but I know I'm wonderfully and marvelously made. Look at your neighbor and say, God said, I'm wonderfully and marvelously made. When you get stuck, speak life to yourself. Speak truth to yourself. You don't need to beat up on yourself. Everybody else is going to do that. Amen? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He's been a doctor for me in a sick room, a lawyer in a courtroom. He's been my all in all. He's a rose of Sharon. He's a bridge over troubled water. He talks to me and he walks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. When I get stuck, when you get stuck, beloved, when you get stuck, don't be defeating yourself. Tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. My steps are ordered by the Lord. He leads me and he guides me beside peaceful water. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I get stuck, I go to the Word. Amen? Remember where God brought me. And the battles he's brought me through. I remember how he brought me over to the other side. And I can truly identify. Sometimes I wasn't even out of the fight. But God let me see a light at the end of the tunnel. Has anybody ever seen a light at the end of the tunnel? And God had let you know that this too shall pass when the battle is over. And so some of us shouldn't wait until the battle is over. Some of us right here that's going through some stuff needs to stand up and shout right here in this place. How many know that if you shout and praise the Lord, he will deliver you? How many know he will deliver you? He will deliver you. He'll set you on the right path. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. I know a man from Galilee. Hallelujah, somebody. He will. He will deliver you. He'll give you victory. He'll give you victory when everybody else thinks that you're gonna go down, when everybody else has counted you out, when everybody else says she's not gonna make it. I know a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know a God. I know a God. He'll pick you up and he'll turn you around. And I'll place your feet on solid ground. Hallelujah. How many know God?
Yeah.
How many know God? That'll give you power to walk right, power to talk right, power to sing right, power to teach right, power to love right, power to live right. He'll give you power.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost power. I know a God. I know a God. I don't know about you, but when I'm down, when I'm down and out, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord.
I sing songs of victory because I have memory and I have imagination. I remember how it kept me. And I'm telling you, if I can look this good going through, hey, can you imagine what it's going to be like when I get on the other side? Hey, somebody ought to get a Lord of praise. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to stand up and get a Lord of praise. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Worthy. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Hey, victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Whoa, victory today is. Oh, victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Church are open. You can come by Christian experience, or if you've never been saved, if you do not know God as your Savior, now is the time to come and turn your life over to the Lord. It's hard out here struggling, trying to fight battles on your own. We need some help in our lives, and I know a Savior that can help you get through. You don't have to do it by yourself. You just come to Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Yeah, victory is mine.
Yeah, victory today.
Yeah, I told Satan. Yes, he is.
Give the Lord a praise. If for some reason you did not want to come forward, the deacons and deaconess and ministers that are standing in the aisle, you can come up to any one of them and tell them that you want to be saved. You can ask them to pray for you and they will do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. If the deacons and deaconess and et cetera will return to their seats.